Hi, this is the PV People podcast. I'm Ben Figgis. Today we're talking about electrodynamic dust shields to keep solar panels clean. So you might have come across this idea. This is where we embed electrodes in the front surface of the PV module, which create a strong electric field, which hopefully repel dust particles. Dr. Bing is one of the top two or three scientists in the world, I would say, working on this technology. He's been working on it now for several years, so his insights are very well informed. This interview was recorded in September 2022. If you'd like to get in contact with me, the email address is contact@pvpeople.org. We pick up the interview partway through. We'd been talking about the previous research done by the Boston University group for NASA on this technology. So this is where we're going to start the interview from.
His work was initially funded by the space industry. NASA, the space agency in the US, and they probably started doing this decades ago, like in the 80s, 70s.
Was it the moon or Mars or both? I can't quite remember that.
They started doing this with the moon missions because early on they discovered that the astronauts, the cosmonauts, would have their space suit contaminated heavily by the moon dust, which is called a regolith.
I guess it would have been the astronauts there. I don't think the Russians made it. But anyway, yeah, I think I remember that. Like their boots would get really caked with this gray powder.
Yeah, I think my memory was contaminated because I recently watched a TV series from Apple TV. It's called For All Mankind. So they twisted the historical events. They made the Soviet Union they made the Soviets land on the moon first.
Now I understand the confusion.
Yeah, unlike the moon, there's a atmosphere on Mars, so you have a additional mechanism for the dust particles to be carried above ground. I remember there was I read a paper reporting one of the Mars missions. They had a rover that was equipped with some sort of a EDS. And was supposed to be able to repel the dust from the surface, from the solar modules.
Now, returning to Earth, I remember I was going to some trade shows, the World Future Energy Summit in Dubai, I mean, ages ago, like 2010. Mm-hmm. And there was like a guy with a stand there, I think it was CleanFizz, who was saying, I've got this EDS product and I'm selling it. It's commercial. It's ready to go.
Yeah.
And I think that was a little bit, he was getting a little bit of ahead of himself, to be honest. And I haven't seen it deployed commercially.
I came to Qatar in 2013 and I learned the problem of the dust on solar modules blocking the sunlight. I think it was either 2014 or 2015 that I first, it was a workshop, I think a UNI co-organized, and then CleanFizz, his name is George, I forget his last name, he brought his device. He had some dust and he sprinkled the dust on that surface and they removed the dust very, very visibly, and then it's pretty impressive.
So describe the main components of your system.
Okay, sure. If you look from the top, if you look just to hold a PV panel with a EDS technology embedded in it, you will see these electrodes, two opposing cones, and then they just have these lines crossing into each other. Or you can also imagine two hands going towards each other, and you have fingers sort of placed in between the other hand. Okay, these are the electrodes that are about 0.3 millimeters in width or in diameter, and they are placed about 7 millimeters from each other. And then, yeah, with improved technology, it is possible that you can print the thinner lines. The reason we picked the 0.3 is because it is possible to do with this technology called a screen printing.
Okay, so these electrodes are then connected to some sort of voltage source and clever electronics, I guess. Could you quickly describe that?
Oh, sure. So in the beginning, we actually bought some very expensive high voltage amplifiers. Okay, so the high voltage amplifiers gets a input from a function generator. The function generator generates a square wave, and that is amplified by a factor of 1,000. Yeah.
Right. And so you're seeing in the field, you're putting what, several thousand volts?
Yeah, that's correct. It sounds scary. yeah, so a few thousand volts, and then the frequency, we pretty much kept the frequency constant. So it's 1 second. That's the frequency we use.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several things. You have to make sure there's no air around the electrodes. And then these electrodes have very small dimensions, which means there's a very high rate of curvature. And then if you review high school physics, maybe there's something called a plasma discharge, and which occurs on the surface of a conductor. Yeah, the sharp, where you have sharp edge, you have a very concentrated electric field, very high strength of electric field, which will break down the molecules of a gas. If you have gas around it, this can happen to air. And in the beginning, we actually had the device catching fire when we were running in the field.
Wow. What happened next?
So when we decide to give the EDS functionality to the PV module, what we did is we printed the electrodes on the outside surface of the glass, and then we applied a additional layer of some polymer film, and these were polymer films that would usually used as the back sheet for PV modules.
I see. Now, as I understand, are these the mini modules, 2 cells by 2 cells?
Yeah, so these are smaller modules than what you would find in commercial products. I actually used a printing facility in China. Their regular business is to print patterns and graphics on t-shirts and sports shoes. I gave them this very odd order, and then the owner of the factory was very gracious in helping me.
That's amazing. I didn't realize that. So this company that would specialize in actually printing on to merchandise was actually able to print these 0.3 millimeter silver aluminium lines onto glass. That's a very versatile factory.
Yeah, their operation is very nimble.
That's worth more than any piece of laboratory equipment, finding a manufacturer who can do that for you. Yeah. Okay, so you had these mini modules. Can you tell us about the variations that you built?
Sure. The second generation, which we reported very recently, had a different surface. This time we had the surface is actually a very, very thin piece of glass. It's called the Willow glass made by Corning. The thickness of that glass was 0.2 millimeters.
Gosh.
So we basically used that 0.2 millimeter glass as the front sheet, the front glass of PV modules. You have the PV cell, the encapsulant, then the electrodes that are printed on the inside of a 0.2 millimeter glass sheet.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us why you wanted such thin glass on top of the electrodes? I'm sure there was a reason for that.
Yeah, there's a reason. You want to keep the electrodes not too far away from the surface where you would have a dust. As you can intuitively imagine, the farther away from the electrode, the weaker the electric field.
Mm-hmm. Now, for that electric field to have any exert any force on the dust particle itself needs to be charged. Now, is that true? Or it can also be the case that the electric field itself can maybe induce some sort of imbalance in the electric charge distribution on the dust particle non-uniformity that you can push against?
First of all, the dust particles, many of them carry electrostatic charge already. One is you have electrons in the atmosphere, and those electrons can cling onto a dust particle, and then such particle will carry negative charges. You can also have abrasion, or called a tribal charging. If you just one particle rub against another surface, that can cause the particle to carry a charge. The particle can acquire both either positive or negative charge due to the tribal charging mechanism. Mm-hmm. And of course, the electric field can have some effect causing the particles to have a charge.
Right. But maybe not every particle will have sufficient charge to be acted on by the electric field, but enough of them do to make this worthwhile.
There are a lot of factors that will affect the amount of electrostatic charge carried by particles, humidity being the most important factor. Humidity not only affects the charge on dust particles, but also it affects how surface charge may accumulate and dissipate on the surface of the insulation layer that's covering the electrodes. We have a paper that actually reports the effect of surface charge on the EDS efficiency. So it's a very complex problem.
Okay, so you're saying that if a very fine layer of moisture on the surface of your PV module, then this is affecting the amount of charge on the surface of your module.
Here's my understanding. So when you have a very thin layer of water molecules covering a surface, that would probably increase the surface conductivity, which will help the dissipation, or will promote the dissipation of electrostatic charges on the dust particles. And also presence of this very thin water film will increase the capillary effect.
Right, right.
It'll be a liquid bridge, and then causes it to, basically, even if you don't charge, even if it doesn't change the electrostatic field and the electrostatic charge, it'll make the particles more difficult to be removed. Water evaporation can actually induce electrostatic charge on the surface. That has been reported.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
Again, it's difficult to say, because of that electrostatic charge associated with water evaporation may be given to the dust particles. That will be a good thing, but it may also give to the surface that you want to keep clean, and that may cause the surface to be more attractive to dust particles.
I see. So you built these prototypes, you put them out in the field, and can you tell us about the results you got?
Oh, sure. The first generation we tested, and we had to increase the voltage to 6 kV, 6,000 volts. We had to use the highest voltage that we felt safe to apply in the field before we saw some significant dust removal effect. And under that condition, we recorded about one-third, or maybe 33%, of mitigation of soiling loss. In other words, if you have, let's say, 15% of soiling loss without the EDS, by using the EDS and applying the high voltage, we were able to reduce the soiling loss to about 10%, so roughly one-third reduction of the soiling loss. So we had to run the EDS continuously. We activated the EDS once every hour. And then every time we activate it, we let it run for 30 seconds.
This might seem like a very naive question, but that's all right. I'm willing to go there. I'm just wondering if there's any potential interaction between these electrodes, your EDS, and the PV cell itself that's running underneath. Obviously, a PV cell is a semiconductor, that works by establishing electric fields within the semiconductor material to make electrons go where you want them and holes to go where you want them. Now, naively, if you put a few thousand volts in the vicinity of this semiconductor, could that potentially have an impact on the operation of the PV cell? Has that been looked at?
Well, that's definitely a very fair question. We haven't looked at the effect of the high voltage. It's very close to the PV cell. It's only maybe 1 millimeter or even less than that. So imagine you have a high potential that's thousands of volts above the PV cell, and then that's placed a fraction of a millimeter away from the PV cell. Yeah, it does pose some very serious concerns. Our primary goal was to determine the effectiveness and the efficiency of EVS in the field. And if it worked, and whether you can apply it to the PV module, then that's the next question to answer.
Right. So as of today, it's 2022, you can't go and buy an EDS device for your PV plant. If you look into the crystal ball, what do you think the outlook is for this technology?
There's probably very little incentive for the mainstream PV industry to take the risk and install EDS of any version onto their PV module, because it just adds to the fabrication process so much uncertainty. And also, there's another thing that I did not mention, which is the high voltage source. It's not a trivial thing. How to provide this high voltage to many, many EDS devices, that's also a question. So it not only adds to the PV module cost, but also there's another cost, which is the high voltage supply.
Right. From where I sit, I would tend to agree with you that I can't really see EDS becoming effective and at lower cost than, say, a PV cleaning robot, which is now being used. But, you know, the future is a long time, and I wouldn't rule out any technology.
Yeah, there may be some other niche applications that will find the EDS technology to be useful. So actually, a few years ago, I was presenting the EDS work, and then a guy from the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory came to express some interest in this technology in general. He said that a pyranometer application, and then he wanted to keep that thing clean of dust. I don't know where the application would be, so there may be some niche applications where this will be useful.
Right. I guess the sweet spot or the niche for this would be a very dry environment where traditional cleaning methods or manual cleaning couldn't be used, and obviously a very high value situation. Yeah. where money is less of a concern.
Yeah.
Dr. Bing Guo, thank you very much for your time.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you, Dr. Ben Figgis.
It's a pleasure. Okay. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.